story is told that the Reb Chaim Volozhiner asked the Vilna Gaon, that he heard from him, that everything that's going to happen in the future is all merumas in the Chumash. So he asked them, where are your merumas? Where is the remes of the Vilna Gaon? So the Vilna Gaon took a Chumash, and he looked in Parshas Kisetzei, kept on mishing and mishing until he found the Pasuk Evan Shlema, and he said, his name is Eliyahu ben Shlomo. So the Evan, as the Rashi Tevis, Eliyahu ben Shlomo, that's the remes for him. There are Prime Volozhiner asked him, why did you look in Kisetzei? Why don't you look somewhere else? He said, because we're now in the Elef Hashishi. The Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah that the Chachamim had a tradition that the world is going to last for 6,000 years. The Rekech on the first Pasuk in Bereshis writes, Bereshis Barla Kim, there are six Alephs, and a letter Aleph represents 1,000 years, Elef, because the world is going to last 6,000 years. What's going to happen after the 6,000 years is very unclear. The Ramchal has a whole essay about that, what's supposed to happen. And the Gemara says that the breakdown of the 6,000 years is the Gemara Avodah Zarah in the first parak. Breakdown is that the first 2,000 years was Tohu until Ram Avinu was born in the year 1948, Lebriya Sa'ilam. The Gemara says we have a tradition when he reached the age of 52, he started preaching monotheism in public, HaNefesh Asher Asa B'choron. So that's the beginning of the Shnei Alafim Torah. Now we're Shnei Alafim Torah for 2,000 years. And then we're Shnei Alafim Mimos HaMashiach. It's possible for Mashiach to come any time after that. Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kochva stood a chance at being the Melech HaMashiach. And he never heard of this tradition. So the other Tanoim told him, how can it be? It's before the Shnei Alofim Yemos HaMashiach. So he never heard of this. But so that's what the Vilna Gaon said, that we're now in the last, it's 5,000, now it's 5,780 years. So in the last Elef HaShishi, we're towards the end of the 6,000 years. So Vilna Gaon lived a couple of centuries ago, also on the last Elef HaShishi. So he said, and there are 10 centuries in the last millennium, every millennium, the 10 centuries. So he said that in Chumash Devarim there are 10 Parshios, 10 Sedras, and each Sedra corresponds to each century in the last millennium. And he lived between 1740 and 1840, when he was talking to Rav Chaim Volozhiner. But that's why he looked in the Parshas Kisetzei, because Kisetzei is the sixth Sedra in Chumash Devarim, and they're working on the assumption, this is all on the assumption, that the Gemara tells us the Bais Sheni lasted 420 years, the Bais Rishon lasted 410 years, that says in Tanakh, and the Bais Sheni lasted 420 years, that says in the Gemara. It's a question whether it's really accurate or not. So the Baal HaMoor writes in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, that as we all know, it's not correct, because in the Goyish history books, they say the Bais Sheni was much longer. Bais Sheni was much longer. And in Tanakh, you have the names of different kings. And the Gemara says they're all the same person, all the same king. And you don't have extra. The Gemara is Mekatza, the Bais Sheni period. And the Goyish history books have all these people are different kings. So each one was a king for a long time. So the Bais Sheni was much longer. So according to the Baal HaMoor, the whole Cheshbon and Gemara is inaccurate. The Ravid learned the Chavrusa with the Baal HaMoor. So he writes in Hasagas on the Baal HaMoor, Apikoros, why do you say against the Gemara? Maybe the history books are wrong. Why do you assume the Gemara is wrong? So that was a big question over the years, since the days of the Baal HaMoor, whether we assume the history books are more correct. The Gemara is more correct. Some of the Achrayim might, we all know that the history books are correct. The Gemara's calculation is not correct. And other things, not some. Like the Ravid, maybe the history books are inaccurate. So the Vilna Gaon was working on the assumption that the year 1240 was the beginning of the Elef HaShishi. That was the year 5000. And then from 1240 to 1340 was the first century. So till 13 to 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, so 1740 to 1840 was the sixth century in the sixth millennium. So that's why he looked in Parshas Kisetzei. And then he explained to Rav Chaim Volozhiner that he was assuming that there were 10 sedras in Chumash Devarim. There are really 11 sedras. So he says, no, Nitzav Mayelach, we all know, is counted as one sedra. I don't know what that means, but that's what he said. Nitzav Mayelach, Kayodua, is only counted as one sedra. So let's speak, we learned half a sedra. This coming Shabbos is going to learn a half a sedra. I don't know, Lamayin Afkamina, not sure. But that's what the Vilna Gaon said. So that's what the one who printed this over is apparently appears in the Hakdama to the Taklan Charetin from Ritmar Talmud of the Vilna Gaon commentary on Shkolim. And it was quoted in the Sefer Emunah v'Hashgacha. So he lived at the end of the 1930s when the Nazis were killing a lot of Jews. So he says that the Holocaust occurred during the 7th century. So you look in Kisavai, you have the Teuchecha. So Parshas Kisavai, that's the Teuchecha is an allusion to the Nazis killing all the Jews. So others add on that if you go, you look in Nitzav and Vayelach, that's already after the year 1940. Nitzav Vayelach, if you consider it as one Sedra, so that's... that's already the 8th century in the 6th millennium. So that talks about returning back to Eretz Yisrael and about writing Sefer Torah. There's every other person's writing Sefer Torah these days. It talks about the big Tshuva movement, okay? Big Tshuva movement going on all over the world in Eretz Yisrael. So this is all based on this idea from the Vilna Gaon. I don't know, the Gaon must have had some source for this, that the 10 sedras and Dvarim correspond to the 10 centuries and the 6th millennium, what's going to happen. Anyway, this Shabbos in Parshas Vayelech, we have two of the last two mitzvahs.
This part about the Holocaust and return to Eretz Yisrael, the Taklan Charetin?
No, Taklan Charetin was written
before. So Rebbe, so there's another Sefer later?
The Sefer Amunah v'Hashgacha was written by somebody, Shmuel Malzahn. So I think he adds that on. He lived at that was the beginning of the Nazi persecution. Later, after 1940, it was worse. But he's what he saw at the beginning of the 1939 was terrible. So we have in Parshas Vayelech, we have the two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Hakel and mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. The mitzvah of Hakel is once every 7 years. Everyone should gather together. Mokam Shiv Hashem, when everybody's early regal. On Chalamoit Sukkos, Anoshim Ataf, the Gemara says it's an exception to the rule. The rule is that Mitzvah says Shaz Magram Anoshim Pturos, so women should really be potter from Hakel. Gemara says this is clearly an exception to the rule. There is a Machloikas in the Gemara where the Simchas Yontav is also an exception to the rule, because of Samachta Ato Vanecha Vneisecha V'Hayosam Almon Hashem B'Kirbecha. It talks about women. It talks about almona. So the Gemara has it's a machlokes in the Gemara and Chagiga in the first parak and Kedushin also, and it's a machlokes the Rambam and the Raita in the end of Hilchas Chagiga, the very last page of Hilchas Chagiga, at a paskin whether we say that Simchas Yantav is also an exception to the rule. The women are mechuyev, despite the fact that it says magrama. Maybe we should say no. Maybe the man is mechuyev in simcha. The man is only yotzei simchas yontif if he invites his wife to eat along with him. And he invites the women on that mechuyev. But the husband is not yotzei unless he invites the wife to come along with him to Yerushalayim and eat the korbanos. He should invite the almonas and the yisayimim as well. So he has an obligation to invite the almonas. Almonas is not mechuyev. She doesn't want to. She doesn't have to agree to eat the basar v'yayim. But so that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raita, and how to paskel halacha. But the women are mechuyev in Simchas Yontav. Rabbi Kevega has the first tshuva in his collection of tshuvas, very strange tshuva. It's hard to understand why he put that tshuva at number one. Someone benched on Yontav and they forgot to say Yalav Yavai. So he says you have to bench over. So the woman says, but she remembers her father was very religious, and the father said, you don't have to. Rabbi Kivega says, you must have forgotten, yours truly, Rabbi Kivega. But that's what he put, that's the first tshuva in the Sefer. I would have put the strongest tshuva, I would have gone in order, it's not in the order of the Shulchan Aruch, I don't know what order it is, maybe it's the chronological order of when he wrote the tshuvas, I don't know. But to put that first is very strange. So then he has a footnote in the Hashmotas on that, so he says, maybe there is something to it. Maybe the Maaseh Shehayah was on Yontif and a woman forgot Yalav Yavon. And maybe it's a machlekes the Rambam and the Ravid, where the women are mechuyev halacha lemaaseh, where the women are mechuyev in Sudas Yontif. So if women are not mechuyev, maybe they're not mechuyev in Sudas Yontif. Then he says himself, it's probably not correct, because chalamoid is a chiyev, the same chiyev simcha that you have on Yontif. Chalamoid is not veilus, because it's a chiyev simcha. A korbas meisa, when someone dies, you don't observe avelus on a chalamoid on a yontif, because it's the same level of chiyev simcha on chalamoid as on yontif. And nonetheless, there's no chiyev suda on chalamoid. There's only chiyev suda on yontif. So you see that it's not, the mechayev of suda is not simchas yontif. The mechayev is really kibud v'yonik. It's oynik on chalamoid. There is no chiyev kibud v'yonik. Based on the Gemara, it would appear that kibud v'yonik is only on Shabbos. The original pasuk in the Shabbat Karas of the Shabbos is only talking about Shabbos. The Rambam writes that Kibud V'Yoneg carries over from Shabbos to Yontif. The Rambam is against the Gemara. The Gemara is beferish that Kibud V'Yoneg is only on Shabbos, but somehow the Rambam has won out. Everybody assumes like the Rambam. Everybody forgot the Gemara. The Beis Halevi points out the Gemara. The Rambam is against the Gemara. But everybody somehow assumes like the Rambam. So that's where Rabbi Kadega says they really Pashtus is the Mechayim of Suda on Shabbos and Yontav is the Kibud V'Yoneg for Harayit and a Chalamoid. There is a Chiyav Simcha, there's no Chiyav Suda. If you forget Yalav Yav on Chalamoid, you don't have to bench over, even though there's a Chiyav Simcha. So it shows the whole vort is incorrect. So Rabbi Kevega says, but he a little fuzzy over there. So he says, but maybe still, very difficult. So he said, maybe the Maaseh Shehayah was that a woman forgot Yalav Yav on Yontav. Maybe that's correct. Maybe since women are not mechuyev in Simchas Yontav, so maybe they're not mechuyev in Suda. So therefore, if a woman forgets Yalav Yav, she wouldn't have to bench over. The Pashta says that the whole calculation is not really correct. That the Mechayev of Suda is not Simcha. Mechayev is Kibud V'Yoneg. But so the Gemara says that Hakel is clearly an exception to the rule. The Noshem Amchuyib, despite the fact that it says Magram Hakel, is a Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. We have Kriyas HaTorah, we assume Kriyas HaTorah is only the Rabbanan. The Gemara says that Ayochu Shloshes Yamim V'Lamotzem Moim, in the Midbar, they had no water. The Gemara says, Ayim Ayim Ala Torah. They spent 3 days without learning any public learning of Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu, with the Nevi'im Shebedor, made a takana to learn Kriyas HaTorah 3 times a week, so Shekadesh 3 days shouldn't go by without learning Torah. So we learn Kriyas HaTorah Monday, Thursday, and on Shabbos, not to go 3 days without learning. So Gemara says it's a takana de Rabbanan. It's not a din deraisa. Some want to say, the Ritva wants to say, the Ramban HaChumash has a little bit like that. Maybe Kriyas HaTorah every 3 days, Sheni Vachamishi and Shabbos, that's mid de Rabbanan. Maybe Shabbos and Yontav is deraisa. Maybe Kriyas HaTorah is the Rice on Shabbos. The Ramban has such a possibility. Mikra Kodesh. It says that Shabbos and Yontav are Mikra Kodesh. So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash and Parshas and more translates Mikra. The Gemara seems to say Mikra Kodesh means we should declare it as a holy day. We should recite Kiddush. We should recite Kiddush on Yontav. Some Mishanim hold Kiddush on Yontav is only the Rabbanan. So they hold that Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah, Gemara says Mikra Kodesh means to recite, one Tana says to recite Kiddush. So they hold that Gemara is only an Asmachta, it's not a real Drosha Gemara Deraisa. So the Ramban thinks that Mikra Kodesh, also he says the Lefi Pshuto, he thinks Mikram is Miroshim Kruei Ho'edo, the representatives of the Tzibur who gathered together. Kruei Ho'edo. So Mikra Kodesh means a day of holy assemblage. We should gather together to have Tefillah B'Tzibur and Talmud Torah Barabim. The rabbi should give a drasha sachacham. Some rabbis give current events. They give a sermon on current events about the impeachment process and all kinds of politics. But the rabbi's role is supposed to be to say Divrei Torah. It's supposed to say Divrei Torah on Shabbos and Yontif. So the Ramban holds that drasha sachacham and Tefillah B'Tzibur is a din deraisa on Shabbos and Yontif. Ad kadei kach, there's a prima godim. The Beis Yosef quotes this Ramban The Beis Yosef writes in Hilchas Pesach, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Nusach HaTfilah on Yom Tov Pesach, so the Beis Yosef thinks that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah who formulated the Nusach HaTfilah and they used the Lashon Mikra Kodesh, he thinks that they must have understood the phrase Mikra Kodesh like the Ramban, that it's a day of holy assemblage, be gathered together to have tefillah b'tzibur. Because why then did they use the, otherwise, why did they use this expression in the Nusach HaTfilah? Must be that the word Mikra Kodesh, that phrase, has something to do with davening. So he thinks that it would appear that the Tanoim understood the Chumash like the Ramban. Mikra Kodesh means that you daven together tefillah b'tzibur. So that, where the Beis Yosef has that in Luchas Pesach, so the Prima Gordon there has a very surprising comment. He thinks that all the tefillahs on Yom Tov have to be tefillah b'tzibur, daven Ma'ariv and Shachris and Musaf and Mincha and Nila, Min HaTorah Tzachiv, all the tefillahs that you daven on Shabbos and Yom Tov have to be tefillah b'tzibur. So he quotes the Magen Avraham that the Gemara says that we usually have the right to assume that a boy who reached the age of 13, a girl who reached the age of 12, probably has Shtei Saris, and they're probably Bar Mitzvah. But strictly speaking, they don't become Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah, just for the Shonim alone. You have to have Shonim V'Simon. The money means the Shtei Saris and the Eva Ha'erva. So is there a requirement to be boidik for the Simon? Let's say you want to be mitzvah somebody to a minion. You have exactly 10 people, and one of them was just Bar Mitzvah last week. Does he really have Shtei Saris? How do you know? So the Gemara says, we assume. Kol She'igia, I think it's Chazoke. The Rav, Kol She'igia L'chalal Shani, V'igia L'chalal Simon. Chazoke there means a Rubid L'leis Kamon. It's a Rubid L'leis Kamon. The likelihood is that one who's already 13 years old probably has already Shtei Saris. So is there a Chayvus B'dika? So the Magen Avraham in one place writes, the Gemara says, if you want that person who is just barely Bar Mitzvah, you want him to write a get, that you want him to serve as a aid on the get, so then you have to be boided to make sure you have Shtei Saris. If you want him to do Chalitza, his brother died. So a cotton can't do Chalitza, because it says, Kach yosa l'ish, ish prat the cotton, Kach yosa l'shishaliv, nes beisachiv. So a cotton cannot do Chalitza, you have to be a gorl. So the Gemara says, in order to be allowed to do Chalitza, you have to do Bedika Simon. So the question is that only this Chumr that you need Bedika Simon, this only a Chumr in Yonei Ishus, by a get and by Chalitza, or maybe it's a din by all dinim derais. So there's a stir in the Magen Avraham. So people usually, most of the poskim are usually machma. For all dinim derais, you have to be boidik. For dinim derabanan, you rely on the chazaka derovan. They're called shigil l'chalal shonim, egil l'chalal simon. But for dinim derais, you should be machma. So that's why there's a question, if a boy is just by mitzvah, so you can let him learn Kriyas HaTorah. We assume that Kriyas HaTorah even on Shabbos is only the Rabbanan, not like this Ramban, that Kriyas HaTorah is the Raisa. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Ramban, the Ritvo has like that. The Gemara says every 3 days, Sheni V'chamisha B'Shabbos, every 3 days, that's only the Rabbanan. But on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Ritvo and Megillah goes along with that Ramban on HaTorah, that's a Din Raisa based on Shabbos and based on Mikra Kodesh. It's a Din Raisa. So we're not boidik. We allow a boy is just barely by mitzvah. We allow him to learn Kriyas HaTorah. The question is, would we allow him to learn Parsha Zohar? The kid is by mitzvah on Parsha Zohar. So Parsha Zohar is a real din deraisa, we assume. So would we allow the child to... So usually the child who is by mitzvah on Parsha Zohar, he's going to say a pilpul on that. Why he's allowed to learn, even though it's questionable. He's got to explain why it's permissible. Okay. But so the Ramban writes... That the Prima Gordon writes that the practice where he lived used to be that on Leil Shavuos everybody stays up, but then as the night proceeds, so the older people go to sleep, and the only ones who stay up till the end of the night to daven or seeking are the younger people. So some of them are just barely by. So by the time it comes time to daven Shachris, you have a minion of 10 people, but you don't have a minion of 10 people who for sure are gedolim. Some of them are just by mitzvah. They were just recently by mitzvah. You don't really know if they have Shtei Saris or not. If the beard started to grow already, obviously they have Shtei Saris. So if they have hair growing on their fingers over here, so they obviously have Shtei Saris and the Eba Ho'erva as well. But if they don't have hair over here, they don't have hair growing over here, So the Prima Godin thinks that there's an issue. If we daven in Meir, there were a few hundred people daven in Shul together. So you daven Tefillah B'tziba. No, he's assuming that I have to daven every Tefillah, you have to daven Tefillah B'tziba. Mincha, we're going to daven together. Those Shachas and Musa, we're going to daven at the Basikin Minyan on Shavuos morning, and there isn't going to be a minyan of 10 Vadai people who are after Bar Mitzvah. So the Prima Godin raises the issue. Maybe you need Bedika Simon. Maybe Tefillah B'tziba, every Tefillah B'tziba. Every tefillah on Yom Tov has to be tefillah b'tzibur, and that's a din d'oraisa. There's room to argue. You can say you should have one tefillah b'tzibur. Maybe there's room to argue to say the community has to put together a tefillah b'tzibur. Doesn't necessarily mean I have to participate in even any one tefillah b'tzibur. But the Prima Godin assumes like that. He assumes like the Beis Yosef Ramban, that Mikra Kodesh means a day of holy assemblage, tefillah b'tzibur. And you have to have every tefillah that you offer on Yontav has to be a tefillah b'tzibur. That's a big chiddush. Anyway, so Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that even though Kriyas HaTorah we assume is only a chiyuv midrabbanan, but whenever you learn Kriyas HaTorah, this morning we learned Kriyas HaTorah, yesterday we learned Kriyas HaTorah. So whenever you learn Kriyas HaTorah, there's a kiyum d'oraisa. But the fact that once every 7 years there's a din of hakel, you see that there's an institution of Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur. So he thought it's Hakel has to be a Chol HaMoed Sukkos following Shnas HaShmitah. But the obligation to lay in Hakel, but from the fact that once every 7 years, Yimuchiyev, that perhaps is an indication that whenever you'll gather together a minyan and the lay in Kriyas HaTorah, that it should be a Kiyum Deraisa. He was working on the assumption, he assumed very much so, that there's such a thing as a Kiyum Deraisa, even if there's no Chiyuv. That's the Netziv quotes that. The Netziv writes when he came to Volozhin, he was very young. I think he came to Volozhin before his bar mitzvah. Then soon after his bar mitzvah, he married the Rosh Yeshiva's daughter, who was a few years older than him. He did marry the daughter of Rabbi Tzela Volozhiner. Bitzela was the son of Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. So he says when he came to Volozhin, there were people alive who still remembered hearing things from the Vilna Gaon or from Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. So they said over in the name of the Vilna Gaon that even though the obligation to eat matzah is only Laila HaRishon and the rest of Pesach is a Rishus, it doesn't mean it's totally Rishus. You're not obligated to eat matzah, but if you do eat matzah, there's a kiyum. There's a kiyum deraisa. There are people now in Eretz Yisrael claim that it can't be. The Vilna Gaon never said that there is no such thing. A mitzvah means you're mitzvah. No such thing as a mitzvah kiyumis without having a chiyuv. But the Netziv, in his commentary at the end of Chumash Vayikra, in his commentary on Chumash, he quotes this and then he expands, he has more cases. So Rav Soloveitchik added on a lot of cases like that. Even though there's no chiyuv, let's say the Ramban holds the obligation to daven every day zoni midirabbanan, but the Ramban writes that inyan hatfila is deraisa. So Rav Soloveitchik understood that it means is that it's a mitzvah kiyum, it's the kiyum. It's not like you're talking to the walls. No, the Rabbanu Shlomo is listening, and there is a mitzvah kiyumis, even if there's no chiyuv. The Rav Soloveitchik assumed a lot of times like that. So that's what he assumed over here also. The fact that once every 7 years there's a chiyuv to have Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur is an indication that whenever you have Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur, should be a kiyum deraisa. The Rambam writes a fascinating lashon when he writes up all the dinim of Hakel. So he writes that it's a replica of Maimon Har Sinai. When the Mishnah has that the Melech would lain Hakel. That's the question. How come we don't have an obligation today to have Hakel? So some said because we don't have a Melech. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Melech is not Miyakev. You don't. The minig was the Bizman Bayesheni. The Mishnah says the Melech used to lain Hakel. But he thought the Melech is not Miyakev. He thought that there is no Hakel Deraisa today because we don't have Shemitah in our Torah. Shemitah Zoni Midrabbanan today. All those who are opposed to the Heta Mechira, many of those who are opposed, not all, many of those who are opposed to the Heta Mechira say that the Heta Mechira in Eretz Yisrael for Shnas HaShemitah only works on the assumption that Shemitah is only Derabbanan. So they want to say that we Paskan that Shemitah is Derais. Pashta says that it's not so. Pashta says that Shemitah B'zman HaZeh is only Derabbanan. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. There's no Chiyav Hakal Menator because the Shemitah is only Derabbanan. And the din is you have to lay in Hakel on Chol HaMoed Sukkos following Shnas HaShmita. That's what it says in Chumet. But he didn't think that the Melech was the reason. The Melech is not Miyakev. He thought that the Shmita is Miyakev. Ramban HaChumash writes a question when it says, Hanoshim, Hanoshim, Hataf. How old are the Taf? So he said, if you would ask me, he would have thought that the only Taf means children before Bar Mitzvah. The children before Bar Mitzvah are not Mukhiv, but the parents are Mukhiv to bring them. Children before Bar Mitzvah who will be impressed. They'll be able to talk about, they'll remember what happened for the rest of their lives. They'll be able to talk about seeing the Melech Lane that came to the Beis HaMikdash, that came to the Azor, whatever, and they heard the decree of Hakil. But if the mamish young keshadayim, infants, they can't see, they don't know what's happening, Bechlal, they won't even be able to say later on that they were there. They didn't realize anything. It shouldn't be mechuyev to bring those taf. But then the Ramban ala Torah, the Ramban ends up, but he thinks the Tanoim don't agree. Because the Gemara says, on Noshim Boyan Lilmod, Noshim Boos Lishmoya, the women don't have an obligation to learn Torah, but they come Lishma, whatever that means, to be impressed by the Maimid, Vataf Lama Boim, Litin Schalim Viyayim. So why did the Ramban say, so why did the Gemara say, Litin Schalim Viyayim, the first Dafan Chagiga, second Dafan Chagiga? Why the Gemara said, Litin Schalim? And they should have said, the children should come to be impressed, and they'll be able to say, we remember, we participated in Hakel. So you see from the Gemara that they seem to have understood that Taf means Yon Keshadaim, who are mamish, don't understand anything that's happening at all. Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather Rav Chaim thought like the Ramban, and he didn't see that it's only Taf who understand, who will be impressed by what happened. They'll see what happened. They'll be able to say, there were a lot of people, the men, the women, children, and Melech was laying, they'll be able to say something over. And they didn't think that there was any contradiction from the fact that the Gemara says, he thought that it means that the children themselves are not mechuyev, the parents are mechuyev to bring the children. So that's called Litan Schale Meviyeh. He didn't see why the Ramban had to back out from what he wrote. Anyway, that's the mitzvah of Hakel. Maybe not. I think my impression was that he thinks that the Gemara contradicts what he said.
He just said Chazal Darshu, just like he
Chazal. Okay. No. You have to read it again to see. I'm not sure. Could be. Okay. Then you have also the mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah. The Rambam lists off his 14 guiding principles in the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs. How do we determine which are the 613 mitzvahs that belong in the list, which not? So one of the klonim he has is, you only count the mitzvah that's noiv l'doros. A hirasha doesn't count. And then he has another klal, you only count mitzvahs l'fi pshuta shal mikra. If you have a drasha of the Torah Shabbat Peh with an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk, that can't count for a mitzvah. So here there's really a problem. The Pshutu Shal Mikru, Kisru Lechem Asashir Azaz, Olam Des B'nai Yisrael Sima B'fiyam. Pshutu Shal Mikru, it's talking to Moshe and Yeshua Ben Nun, that they should recite Shiras Hazinu. But that's only Harasho. That was once in the history of the world. So that doesn't count in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. But then the Torah Shabbat Peh has an additional level of interpretation. In the Pasuk, Kisru Lechem Asashir Azaz, the Shira goes on Kol HaTorah Kula, that every Jewish man, the Rambam writes, every Jewish man has an obligation to write the Chamishuch, the Kol HaTorah Kula, the Chamishuch Hamshik Torah. Everyone should write a Sefer Torah. But that's not really the Pshuto Shel Mikra. That's only a drasha of the Torah Shebaal Peh. It's an additional level of interpretation, so it's really problematic why the Rambam counted this mitzvah and the Minyan HaMitzvahs. This is the list of the 613 mitzvahs. Really problematic. Then it's even his commentary on Chumash writes like this. Usually, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a prophecy to Moshe Rabbeinu, he would first deliver the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, and after he would deliver the Nevuah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell him, dictate it word for word, now write it down on the cloth. And over here, he was instructed the reverse. Kisra Lechem Asher Asas V'lamna. First write it down, and then deliver the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. Hazina was a Nevuah, then deliver the Nevuah. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Bava Basra, in the first parak, the Gemara Menachos, has a machlokes HaTanoim, who wrote the last Shmoneh Psukim Shebatorah. The last parsha in the Torah describes, it's an obituary for Moshe Rabbeinu. Describes the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'yam Moshe Moshe Eved Hashem. V'ikbar Osa Bagai. So Moshe Rabbeinu wrote this after he died. So the Gemara has a machlokes HaTanaim. So one Tana says that it was written by Yeshua Ben Nun. And there's a section in Sefer Yeshua. There's a pasuk in Sefer Yeshua that says Yeshua Ben Nun wrote something. So one Tana says that's what he wrote. He wrote the Shemana Pesuk Meshavat Torah, the last parsha. The eighth pasuk before the end happens to say, V'yam Mesham Moshe Eved Hashem. But the Pashtus perhaps is, I think Ibn Ezra says, the machlokes HaTanaim doesn't only go on the last eight pesukim. Means the whole parsha that has the last eight psukim. The whole description of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So according to one Tana, that was added on later by Yeshua Ben Nun. And that's not the accepted opinion. Machlek Satanaim, Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Shimon, I think, and Baba Basra, and the first parent. Accepted opinion is, we assume that everything was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what it means in the Chumash. At the end of Parshas Vayelech, Ve'ikachalos Moshe Lichtav, Ve'zkalti Ba'ater Azois Ad Tumam. He wrote everything from the beginning to the end, including the Shemona Pesuk Meshavat Torah. Then he gave the Sefer Torah that he wrote to, the Medrash says that he wrote 13 Sefer Torah. Where did the Medrash get that idea? He wrote 13 Sefer Torah. So it's based on the assumption that the word Torah, Sefer Torah, appears 13 times. So you add up every time it says Torah in this Parsha, it's 13 times. And then one Sefer Torah, he gave 12 Sefer Torah to the 12 Shvatim, and then he gave the 13th Sefer Torah to Shevet Levi, to the Kohanim, Nosem Aron B'ris Hashem, and he said they should put him something Moshe B'tzai Aron B'ris Hashem B'hoyosham B'choliyei. That's the special status of the Sefer Azora. What's the special deed of the Sefer Azora? So the Yalkut Shemayni, and that Pasuk says that that's the official text of the Chamisha Chumash Torah. Whenever there'll be a Sofik, what to do? Over the years, scribes copied over Sefer Torah, and sometimes they made mistakes. So you have mistakes, but perpetuated throughout the generations. You have Sefer Torah that have mistakes in them. So if you want to find out, you want to ascertain which is the correct version. So you look in the Sefer HaZorah. Yalkut Shemayni, Rav Soloveitchik, used to say this over. Yalkut Shemayni says that on one occasion there was a discrepancy. What's the correct reading of the Sefer Torah? Ma'on Elokei Kedem. So they looked in the. There were three Sfarim in the Azorah. There were three Sifri Azorah at that time. And they looked in the Sifri Azorah. So two of them said, Ma'ona Elokei Kedem. One of them said, Ma'on. Bitlos Echad in Pnei Hashnaim. They went Basaroif, Achiram Lahatas. Just like if you have a split vote among the Dayanim. There's a Bezna of three, and you have a split vote 2-1. So here, there were three Sifri Azorah, and they went Basaroif. So the Etch guess, why they only look three Sifri Azorah? They should have looked at all the Sifri Torah in the world and gone Basaroif. So you see from the Yalkut Shemayni, that's a special status in Sefer Azorah. That's what the Yalkut says. Sefer Azorah is supposed to preserve the Masorah of the text of the Torah Shebichtav. So whenever you have a Sufik in the future, what the correct reading should be, you should check with the Sifri Azorah. Tosis in the first parak in Bava Basra quotes Rashi that Leining Hakel should be done from the Sefer HaZorah. Special din, Hakel should be done. Then Tosis also quotes a Rashi, I don't think we have these Rashis. Tosis quotes another Rashi, that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur also is a Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to learn from Achrei Mois. That's part of the Avoida. Part of the Avoida is he should do all the Avoida, he should make all the Karbonos on Yom Kippur, and he should learn from the Sefer Torah. So the Tosis quotes the Rashi that the Kriyas Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur had to be also from a Sefer HaZorah. Where else do you have Alpidin a Sefer HaZorah? The Rambam in Hilchus Malachim writes that the Melech has every Jewish man has an obligation to write one Sefer Torah. Kisva Lechem Es Hashir HaZois. Every Jewish man has an obligation. And the Melech has an obligation because Mishnah HaTorah Hazas. Mishnah means a second Sefer Torah. The Melech has an obligation to write a second Sefer Torah. So the Rambam quotes at the Sefta, Magim also pi Sefer Azorah. The Gemara says, whenever you write a Sefer Torah, so you're supposed to have another Sefer Torah in front of you and copy it. Here it says, you say, Bereshis Barlekin, you write Bereshis Barlekin. So when you write the Sefer Torah Shem Melech, you're supposed to copy it when the Sefer HaZorah. The assumption is that whenever you're copying a Sefer Torah from the Sefer Azara, it's also going to have the status of a special status of the Sefer Azara, that you'll be able to use it for Hakel, or you'll be able to use it for the Kriya on Yom Kippur, according to that Rashi, that that's a special din, that the Sefer Azara has to be used. So the Rambam is famous, the Rambam in Hilchas Sefer Torah, when he quotes this mitzvah, every Jewish man has an obligation to write the Sefer Torah. He says only men have the obligation. Why? How does he know women are potter? It's not a mitzvah, says Shazma Groma. Why did the Rambam assume that women are potter? So it's usually assumed because the Gemara says in Gitna and Daf Mem Hei Beis that in Chumash Dvarim Yidarshin Smuchim, one person next to another. So in Kriyat Shema you have the pasuk Chasavta Mam Zizes Beisecha B'Sherecha, follows the pasuk Kshartim Los Al Yadecha V'Oyer Tatovis Beinecha Chasavta Mam Zizes Beisecha B'Sherecha. So the Gemara learns that from the Smuchim, only one who's a Bakshira, one who's obligated to wear tefillin, is kosher to write a mezuzah. Women are not obligated to wear tefillin, so they're not kosher to write a mezuzah. Even though they're mechuyev in mezuzah, women are not chayev in tefillin. L'chol ha'deis, even if you hold that Laila is, that's a Gemara in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak. Even if you hold that Laila is mantfilin, there's a machlokes satanim. Even if you hold Laila is mantfilin, and even if you hold Shabbos v'yantav is mantfilin, you mechuyev to wear tefillin. But the women are still potter from tefillin. The women are potter from tefillin, not because it's a mitzvah such as magrama, because it's tefillin is written chumash right next to the marta mosmas b'neichem, and women are potter from talmud Torah. The marta mosmas b'neichem v'lo b'naseichem. So the women are potter from talmud Torah. So that's why they're potter from tefillin. One of the major conservative poskim of our generation, from the conservative movement, wrote the whole tshuva that Bizman Azeh, that we educate the women. The women go to school and they study Gemara. They study Chumash in Gemara. So the women are mechuyev to wear tefillin, the same as men. Okay. Darshan, the psukim. Yeah. There's a problematic Tosfos, the Rebbe Kivegri has on. Tosfos says the reason why women are part of tefillin is because it's a Zman Ram. So Rebbe Kivegri points out, it's a Tosfos in the last Perek in Erevin, Perek HaMoitzi Tefillin. Rebbe Kivegri points out, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara is Beferish, in the end of the first Perek in Kiddushin. Even if you hold that Laila is Man Tefillin, even if you hold Shabbos and Yantar is Man Tefillin, the women are still part of Tefillin, because Tefillin is Ukash to Talmud Torah, and the women are part of Talmud Torah, even though it's not a Zman Ram. So the women are potter from tefillin, even if you hold that it's not as mangram. So that's a question the Shagasari asked on the Rambam. Why did the Rambam write that women are not mechuyev in ksiva sefer Torah? Is it because the women are puzzled for writing a sefer Torah because of the smuchim? Ukshartem achsaptem kol sheyeshnim b'kshir yeshnim b'ksiva. So the women are mechuyev and mezuzah, but they can't write their own mezuzah. They have to get a man to write the mezuzah for them. So maybe the women are mechuyev and ksiva sefer Torah, and they have to get a sefer to write the sefer Torah for them, just like the women are mechuyev in a mezuzah, and they can't write their own mezuzah. That's the Shagasari's tine against them. He thinks that women should also be mechuyev in ksiva sefer Torah. So the Beis HaLevi has a famous tshuva. But he says, no, that's not the reason why. It says in the Pasuk, Kisvah lechem asah shiras haz v'lamdas b'nei Yisrael. According to the Peshut Roshon Mikra, it's talking about shiras hazinim. Kisvah lechem is talking to Moshe and Yehoshua. According to the additional level of the Torah Shabbal Peh, Kisvah lechem is speaking l'chol echad v'yechad, every Jewish person. And it says, Kisvah lechem v'lamdas b'nei Yisrael, the purpose of having a Sefer Torah, purpose of having a Jewish library, is that you should have Svarim in the house, you should be able to learn from. So since the women are potter from Talmud Torah, that's why the women are potter from Ksiva Sefer Torah. That's what the Beis HaLevi says. We usually say that Loi Dashin and Taima Dekra. We usually say that we don't paskin like it. There's a machlekes hatanoim, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. Whenever the Torah gives a mitzvah, and we know what the reason for the mitzvah is, do you say that the Tamei HaMitzvah is one of the Midrash HaTorah that rushes by him? So whenever the time for the mitzvah doesn't apply, the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. They say, no, Lo Yidashein the time of the Krah. It's important to figure out what moral, ethical, or religious principle is the Torah driving at. What's the Torah trying to teach us here? But the Tamei HaMitzvah do not regulate the application of the mitzvah. Lo Yidashein the time of the Krah. It's not from the Midrash HaTorah that rushes by him. So we usually pasken against the Tana Reb Shimon. Very dashi in the time of the Krah. So why all of a sudden over here? Why should we say over here that since the Chumash Kisva Lechem V'Lamda, the Chumash says the purpose of writing a Sefer Torah is in order to learn, so the women are not mechayev to learn, so therefore they're not mechayev to write. So the answer is Pasha, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin in the second paragraph, this whole machlokes atanaim, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim, whether dashin in time of the Krah, although dashin in time of the Krah, whether the giving the reason, figuring out the reason for the mitzvahs, is from the Midrash HaTorah Reshes Ben, whether it regulates the application of the mitzvah, that's only if the Chumash doesn't write the reason, the Beferish. Here the Chumash writes, Kisul Lechem V'Lamdas Ma'isot, says the reason is, says Beferish the reason. Whenever the Chumash writes the reason right next to the mitzvah, then the Gemara says the Chacham and the Reb Shimon also agree that Dashin at time of the Krah. That's what it says in the Chumash. That's what the Beis Halevi thinks, that the reason why the women are potter from Ksiva Sefer Torah according to the Rambam is because they're not Mukhayib and Talmud Torah. And the Chumash says the whole reason for writing a Sefer Torah is everyone should have a Jewish library that they should learn Torah. So if the women are not Mukhayib and Talmud Torah, then they're not Mukhayib to have the library. So again, so the Gemara had a machlokes hatanoim. When it says in Sefer Yeshua that Shua ben Nun wrote something, what did he write? So one Tana is of the opinion that he wrote Shmoneh Pesukim Shabbat Torah. He wrote the obituary of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the accepted opinion is not so much. Yeshua ben Nun wrote Sefer Yeshua. When it says in Sefer Yeshua he wrote some Divrei Torah, means he wrote Sefer Yeshua, and that it was going to be added on to the Kisvei HaKodesh. Kisvei HaKodesh is not only the Chamish Yuchim Shetorah, they added on Nevi'im Uksuvim as well. They had a right, they were told, they had a right to add on to the Kisvei HaKodesh. So the accepted opinion is that the Shmoneh Pesukim Shabbat Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. But the Gemara says it wasn't written the same as the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula. Kol HaTorah Kula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oymer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Oymer Bekosim, Moshe Rabbeinu writes it down. And over here, the Shmoneh Pesukim Shabbat Torah, Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, and Moshe Kose Bedema. Moshe Rabbeinu writes it with tears in his eyes. He's crying. But he really wrote the whole Kol HaTorah Kula, including the Shmoneh Pesukim Shabbat Torah. That's what the Gemara says. So Tosfos comments on that Gemara, that's a Gemara Menachos, Tosfos comments on the Gemara, the Kan Ktsas Smach Leminig HaSofrim. The minig is when you write a Sefer Torah, you have another Sefer Torah in front of you. That's a din in the Gemara. You have to copy. It says Bereshis Barlakim, so you copy over here. So the minig HaSofrim is that they look in a Sefer Torah that's in front of them, and they pronounce the pasuk. They say Bereshis Barlakim, then they write over here. They pronounce the words and then they write it. So Tosfos said, Mikan, from this Gemara, Ktsas Smach Leminig HaSofrim, that they pronounce the words before they write it, because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Moshe Omer V'Kosev. Moshe Rabbeinu said the Psukim, and then they wrote it down. So why is it a Ktsas Smach Leminig HaSofrim? It's a very good mocha. That's exactly what it says in the Gemara. So Rav Soloveitchik said, the Rav Chaim said, no, that's not what it means in the Gemara. The Gemara means what the Netziv said. Moshe Omer V'Kosev, Kol HaTorah Kula, Moshe Rabbeinu delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. After he delivered the Nevuah, then he wrote it down. The Shiras Hazino was the only exception to the rule, because he was told Kisvei Lechem V'Lamda. He was told first write it down and then deliver the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael. But Kol HaTorah Kula, aside from Shiras Hazino, was Moshe Omer V'Kosev. Not he mumbled the words Bereshis Bar Lekim. He delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, and then he wrote it down. First, there had to be a Cheftah Shel Nevuah. Nevuah is Bari Nibs Vasayim, when you pronounce it with your lips. And after was Chal Hashem Nevuah on it, after he delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, then he wrote it down. And Shiras Hazina was the reverse. So that's what Tosfos writes. It's only Ksas Smach Leminig HaSofrim. It's a bit of a remez, but that's not really the pshat in the Gemara. When it says Moshe Omer V'Kosev, doesn't mean he mumbled Bereshis Bar Lekim before he was about to write it. Means he delivered the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, and then he wrote it down. So that's why the Gemara never meant what Tosfos says. The big machlokes in Poskim, whether you can be yotzei the Pischi Tshuva and Yeridei, Hilchos Sefer Torah, of course, can you be yotzei the mitzvah, Ksiva Sefer Torah, if you write Beshutfas every couple of years. The community puts together funds and they authorize a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah. So that's also a machlokes. It's also a machlokes. The Beis Halevi talks about that. There was a machlokes in the days of the Ramah, the early Achronim, The Gemara says, if you write a Sefer Torah, kiskila kibla misinai, it's considered as if you were with Moshe Rabbeinu receiving the Torah Hasina. If you commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah for you, the Gemara also, what if you buy a Sefer Torah? Someone else wrote a Sefer Torah. Hakoina Sefer Torah Menashuk, Kechotef Mitzvah Menashuk. That's like grabbing a mitzvah minashuk. So what is the connotation of that statement? Chotev mitzvah minashuk means that he yotze b'dieved. More correct is you should write the Sefer Torah yourself. Second best is you commission a sefer to write the Sefer Torah. And third is, hakoina Sefer Torah. If you buy a Sefer Torah, that's the cheating a little bit. Chotev mitzvah minashuk, that's cheating. More correct would have been, you should have commissioned a sefer to write a Sefer Torah. So some Sadeh Ramor writes like that in Shulchan Aruch. He understood that that's what the Rambam said, that you're not Yotze in the Mitzvah if you buy a Sefer Torah. So the Beis HaLevi writes that that's not correct. If you look in the Sefer HaMitzvah, it says Beferish, that the Rambam says when you buy a Sefer Torah from someone else, you are Yotze in the Mitzvah, but it's not Lamahadrin. It's considered a little bit cheating. It's considered a little, it's a little bit improper. So on the assumption that that's what we assume. Not only when you commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah, even if you buy a Sefer Torah, it wasn't written for you. You buy a Sefer Torah, also you yotze. So what if, let's say, the whole community chips in, everybody gives $5, $10, and altogether, they buy a Sefer Torah. Altogether, they commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah. Do you require each and every man should write his own Sefer Torah, commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah? There'll be a few million more Sefer Torah written for the Jewish people. Or do you say, no, you can fulfill the mitzvah b'shutfus. So the Gemara, towards the end of Chulin, the Gemara discusses which mitzvahs can be fulfilled b'shutfus, which mitzvahs cannot be fulfilled b'shutfus. So the Gemara says that the klal is, part of the klal, it's not the whole story, part of the klal is, when it's written in Chumash b'loshan rabim, then you can be yotze b'shutfus. When it's written b'loshan yachad, you cannot be yotze b'shutfus. So that's the klal in the Gemara. The Gemara explains a few dinim based on this. So in the Achrayim, some of them said, here it says, Kisva lachem es ashir hazaz, written b'loshan rabim. So therefore you should apply the Gemara's klal that the Ksiva Sefer Torah is one of those mitzvahs that can be fulfilled ayde shutfas. And the other Achrayim say, no, not only do we not know how to darshan psukim, we don't even know how to apply the Gemara darshan the psukim already. The Gemara gives you the klal. It depends what is written, Loshan Rabbim. The Gemara explains a few dinim based on this, but we don't know how to apply the Gemara's klal to new cases. So we don't know whether we really have the right to darshan like that, that you yotze the mitzvah, the shutfas, because it says kiswa lachem. So that's a machlokes, the Pischa Tshuva and Yeriday in Hilchos Sefer Torah. Quotes this machlokes Achrayim. Can you be yotze the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah by writing the shutfas? The Tur quotes in the name of the Rosh. Tur was the son of the Rosh. He quotes the name of the Rosh, that is Manazed, that we have Gemaras written, we have Mishnayos and Gemaras and Shulchan Aruch, so many other things written. So the proper practice should be to buy all of these Svarim, to buy a whole Jewish library. So there's a Machlekes, the Beis Yosef, and the Bach, what did the Rosh mean to say? So I forgot already who says which way. So some of the Achrayim say the Rosh didn't mean to do away with the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. You have to write a Sefer Torah, commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah, fine. And in addition to that, you have to have a full Jewish library to learn from. And others say no, the Rosh meant that Bizman Hazeh, since the common practice is nobody learns Chumash from a Sefer Torah, everybody learns Chumash from a printed Chumash. So you should buy, instead of commissioning a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah for you that you're never going to use, you should buy a set of Chumashim. Go to the Jewish bookstore and buy all the whole Jewish library. How can you change the nature of the mitzvah? If the mitzvah in the Torah is kisvah lachem, you have to write a kosher Sefer Torah. So some Achrayim say, no, since it says, V'lamda is B'nai Yisrael, here the Torah gives the reason for the mitzvah, Kisva Lechem V'lamda. The whole purpose of writing a Sefer Torah is in order that you should have a Jewish library at home in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that was the whole Jewish library, Chamishu Chamshe Torah. They didn't have Nevi'im Ksuvim yet, and they weren't allowed to write down the Torah Shabbat Pet. So the whole Jewish library consisted of just the Sefer Torah, the Chamish al Chamish al Torah. But in the later generations, when they were matted to write down the Torah Shabbat Pet, they were authorized by the Rebbeinu Shalom to add on the Maksuvim. So you're not yet to the mitzvah unless you have a full library that people can learn from. So since the common practice today is nobody learns from a written sefer Torah, you learn from a printed sefer. So the Rosh meant to say that this substitutes for the mitzvah. You don't have to write a sefer Torah. Not that he meant to say in addition to writing a sefer Torah, should also have a whole Jewish library instead of writing a sefer Torah. I learned Hashem in the time of the Kruah. No, here the Chumash itself gives the reason. Lam does Bnei Yisrael. We assume not so. The Rambam writes the only yotze the mitzvah if you write a kosher sefer Torah. It has to be written a kosher sefer Torah, because you're not supposed to write a sefer Torah that's not kosher. That's kula, that we allow writing, printing svarim of chamish chamshei Torah. Mikra din years ago was not allowed. But they were mekel to write down the Torah Shabbat Peh, because it's lasa shamitir Torah Secha. So they're mekel to print chumashim as well, because mikra din you're not supposed to. You're supposed to only have a kosher Tanakh, kosher Sefer Torah.
Why is it not allowed?
It's considered Baal Peh. And Dvarim Shebichsav, you're not supposed to learn Baal Peh. If you have a printed the Chumash, that's called Dvarim Shebichsav, you're learning it Baal Peh, which is not Shaloi Kedin.
Isn't it completely different, the idea of making something that has a little Sefer Torah and buying a library? Like, it seems as though like we're not fulfilling the same thing at all. And then you can say by other mitzvahs that it says in the Torah the reason, that we should just completely reinterpret it to something else.
It's a good question. I don't know. That's what led many Achranim to assume that Rosh meant in addition to writing a Sefer Torah. And others said no, that the Rosh meant to say, to substitute, that since today the common practice is that nobody learns from a Sefer Torah, so the correct way to fulfill a mitzvah is by having a regular library.
Which svarim would the Rosh say you have to buy? It's only the Chumash?
What do you need in order to be Yotzei? That's a good question. Well, no. The Baal HaTanya writes that Baal HaTanya rewrote Hilchos Sefer Torah. Hilchos Talmud Torah. So he says every Jewish man has an obligation to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. I think Mar says Arucham Be'eretz Midu Rechovim Min Hayam is a reference to the Torah. It's so vast, so it's impossible for anybody to master Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Baal HaTanya says that Gemara and Erevin that goes on Oimek Havonas HaTorah, the depth of understanding. But the text of the Kol HaTorah Kula has a limit. That's not Arucham Be'eretz Midu Rechovim Min Hayam. So he says, Kol HaTorah Kula is Tanakh, Mishnayis, Tosefta's, Sifra Sifrei Mechilta, Bavli Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam. He says that's a definition of Kol HaTorah Kula. So maybe that's a definition for this Rosh also. Maybe we're obligated to have Kol HaTorah Kula. I don't know.
The mitzvah is Olam Das Bnei Yisrael. If you write a Sefer Torah and then donate it, are you yotze the mitzvah?
Some say you're not yotze, because some of the big machlekes, what's the gedah hamitzvah? The gedah hamitzvah is to be marbe Sefer Torah in the world, so there'll be more Sefer Torah available. But the gedah hamitzvah is that I should have a Sefer Torah in my home. I should be able to learn whenever I want to. So if I give it on loan to the shul, I can always take it back whenever I want, then fine. But if I give it as a matana to the shul and I can't get it back when I want, to some achranim said that he just killed the mitzvah. He spent all that money, spent $40,000 paying a sefer, or whatever you pay, I don't know, to write a sefer Torah. And then you donate it to the shul, so he just lost the mitzvah. The Pischa Tshuva quotes this, machlaikas. What's the gedah hamitzvah? Yeah.
If this is the
Lamda's
Torah, then if someone buys a sefer, or spread the sefer Torah, and never uses it, they still have the mitzvah?
If a person buys a Sefer Torah and never uses it?
They don't write the Sefer Torah or buys a Sefer, according to
No, you have to have a Sefer Torah available that will ever dawn upon you to learn, so you'll have it available to learn. It'll certainly enhance the mitzvah if you do learn. Yeah. But Mestami Yetz, if you have it available. Anyway, these are the last two mitzvahs in Parshas Vayelech. The mitzvah of Hakel, once every 7 years, and the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. Ksiva Sefer Torah is a problem, because L'pi Pshuto Shal Mikrom Soheru Asher, once in the history of the world. And L'pi Torah Shebal Peh, it's a mitzvah in every man to write a Sefer Torah. So that's only a drasha of the Torah Shebal Peh. That's not L'pi Pshuto Shal Mikrom. So the Rambam wrote, one of his 14 klolim was, you don't include drashas of the Torah Shebal Peh. That is a problem. The Rambam writes only Yotze the mitzvah if you write a kosher Sefer Torah. You write a pasul of Sefer Torah, you're not Yotze. And then he says also, you can only learn Kriyas HaTorah. One can say, all right, that's in order to be Yotze the mitzvah, Ksiva Sefer Torah has to be kosher. What about Kriyas HaTorah, the Din de Rabbanon? Kriyas HaTorah is a Takana Rabbanon. Also, you can only fulfill Kriyas HaTorah with a kosher Sefer Torah. So the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah says like that. You can only be Yotze the Takana de Rabbanon, Kriyas HaTorah, if you learn from a kosher Sefer Torah. The Rambam in the Tshuva writes not so. The Rambam in the Tshuva writes that the common practice in many communities was that they would learn Kriyas HaTorah every week from a pasul of Sefer Torah with the brachas. He said, you don't need a kosher Sefer Torah. So the Kesem Mishnah quotes the Tshuva HaRashba that there's a contradiction here between the Tshuva HaRambam and the Mishnah Torah. So he says, apparently the Rambam changed his mind. The Tshuva was written earlier, and the Mishnah Torah was written later. And b'di'evad, we rely on the Tshuva HaRambam. If you're already halfway through the Sedra, and then you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah. So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Mari Beirav, that was his Rebbe. He quotes Mari Beirav, that b'di'evad, you don't have to lean over. B'di'evad, we rely on the Tshuva HaRambam. Okay. Let's see a little bit, a word or two about Chulin. So we know we're going to learn this Gemara. On Yud Amud Beis, right in the middle, the Gemara starts a famous topic. A sentence, Minoha Milsa Dam Rabbanan, Dukin Milsa Chazoke. How do you know that your father Chazok? The Gemara is going to have a whole sugya. Then the Gemara is going to say, and how do you know that you go Basarayv? Another sugya, two sugyas. So we're going to learn it. So we believe in both. We believe there's a din of Chazoke, there's a din of Roif. What if the Roif pulls in one direction, the Chazoke here? The other one is. Go Basarayv, yeah. Where's the sugya of Roiv begin?
Yud Aleph
Amud Aleph.
Second line
from the top. Minoha Milsa Dam Rabban is Lo Basaruba. Good. So the Chazok is so short, I thought it was the longest sugya. Okay. So we have a klal of Chazok and we have a klal of Roiv. Good. What do you do when there's a conflict between Rav and Chazoka? The Rav indicates in one direction, Chazoka indicates in the other direction. So that's a machloikas Rav Meir and the Chachamim, he said over. Machloikas Rav Meir's opinion is that Miut Gemara says there's a theoretical machloikas, a philosophical machloikas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. When you go Basar Rav, when the Torah says you go Basar Rav, they say Miut is command the Isay Dami, or Miut is command the Leisay Dami. What's the difference? It says in the Torah, you know, go basa raif. So somehow, Rav Meir understands, miut command isi dam, and the miut stares in the face and says, don't forget me, but we ignore the miut, but the miut that we should keep in mind, that there is a miut. So this leads Rav Meir to believe, chashina le miuta, Meir holds chashina le miuta. We already had it, that a kot neina choylitz. Because it says Kachi Yosel Ish Shaliyim Nes Beisach Ish Prat LeKotn. So if a man dies, he's married, he has no children, In Eretz Yisrael, happens all the time. Soldiers are killed in the army all the time. Young soldiers are killed. They're married, they have no children, so the wife needs chalitza. Whenever you do chalitza, so you say, Yirotzen mofanecha, that the Bnei Yisrael should never need any chalitza. It's a tragedy that a man is married, he has no children, and he dies. The tragedies in Eretz Yisrael all the time. Young soldiers are killed. Some of them, they didn't even get married. Some of them got married, never had any children. Whenever anybody is killed, it's a tragedy. So chalitza says in the pasuk kochi yosa leish pat lekotan. Kotan can't do chalitza. Then the Gemara says that what about to do yibum? Yibum, there is no such pasuk that you have to be a bar mitzvah. You have to be 9 years old. Before 9 years old, then be also beer. So you can't do yibum. But after the age of 9, so strictly speaking, kotan bo yibim tay is kind of. A Mishnah, it's kind of. So Reb Meir is of the opinion that a kotnein and miyabim. Why? There's a chashash shemi matzei soris and the yavama shemi matzei islanders. If she's a ktana or the yavam is a kotn, it may turn out that they're going to be soris or islanders. How long do you wait to see whether they'll be soris or islanders? Woo! So it's not enough to wait till bar mitzvah. You have to wait till the age of 20 to determine whether a person is soris or islanders. Wow. That's Rameh's opinion. But we don't pass like Rameh. We say, Loi Hashina Lemiut. So Rameh's opinion, Hashina Lemiuta, Yechoshish for the Miut. When do we say Hashina Lemiuta? When do we say you need Bedika? So we had the Ramban said, the Melchamas on the Chulin said, from all the 70 different kinds of traves, there's only Bodik Vesichos on the Reya, because that's a Miut Hamotzi. A Miut Hamotzi, there's a Chavis Bedika in the Rabbanim. In our Torah, there's no such thing. But the Rabbanan is a chayvus bedika. How much is it called? What's called miut hamotzei? So we said that's a question. So the Achrayim quote the Mishkan as Yankev writes in his tshuva that 10% or above is called the miut hamotzei. That's when you need the bedika with the Rabbanan. You have to be bedik to see if there's any sirch on the lungs. And Rabbi Eliashiv thought that he disagreed with that Mishkan as Yankev. He said that in Eretz Yisrael they kept records for many years. How many animals have sirchas on the lungs? And he says, it turns out that it's 7%. And Chutzlar stuck over. In America, Rav Soloveitchik said that when he gave a hashgach on the slaughterhouse, he said he used to have 14% sirchas on the lungs with using a lot of kulis. That 14%. And Rav Eliashiv said that in Eretz Yisrael, they only have 7%. So he thought that, you see, the Medrash is probably written in Eretz Yisrael, the Medrash that the Ramban quotes, that Mi Galo Afra Me'enev, or the Marishan, the same day he was created, he was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we call it Zagan Ochel Techel, not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, and he ate, he violated the din, he was judged, and he was punished on the same day. That was all on Rosh Hashanah. So the Medrash says that if he would have waited till Leil Shabbos, it would have been mutter for him. It was only Har Rashua that he wasn't allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. If it only applied on Erev Shabbos, would have waited till Leil Shabbos, would have been mutter. And he didn't have the patience to wait. We should dig him up and take off the sand on his eyes and show him to Jewish people. A woman becomes a nida, the husband waits 2 weeks till she goes to the mikveh. And when you shech the behemoth, you wait till you check to make sure there's no sirchas on the lung. And when you plant the tree, you don't eat the pears for the first 3 years. It's orla. You have to have patience. You have to have self-control. A lot of the mitzvahs require a lot of self-control. Some are easier than others. But that's very important.
Maybe they kept records. What is it when they kept records on the sirchas for 2,000 years?
No, for 2,000 years, I don't think. But in recent years, when they made a business out of it, slaughterhouse was a business, and they wanted to see which you have to keep records. What percentage of the animals does the sheikhet ruin? Does he make nevelas? So I'm going to fire the sheikhet. If he makes too many nevelas, he's no good. If all the shochtim make a certain percentage of nevelas, so I can't help myself. But if this guy only has 5% in the veilus, and he has 25%. So I'm going to fire him. I'm going to get a different shirch. So they kept records also. How many of the behemoths turned out to be trefus, with sirchas on them? That was in recent years, after they made the shechit into a business.
So how does that tell us about what the Medrash was talking about? Why does Rebbe say that?
So he's assuming that the Medrash was probably in different countries in the world. Like we said, in America, it's well over 10% have sirchas. In Eretz Yisrael, it's only 7%. And the rabbi from the Shmir Shabbos Kilchos, Rabbi Neuwirth, said when he used to give the Hashgacha on the meat from Argentina, he said it was only 5%. The sirchas are different parts of the world. The air is less polluted and more polluted than other places. And it's going to be different percentage of animals going to have sirchas, depending on what the health conditions are. How healthy the air is, how healthy everything is. So Rabbi Yashab is assuming that the Medrash that says that you have to be Boidik, only the Sirchas, you don't, the Ramban's Medrash, probably was written in Eretz Yisrael. And it's probably the same percentage then as it is today, probably only 7%. And still, it's called the Miyot HaMotzi.
Why is he assuming that the air pollution and quality would have been the same at the time of the Medrash as it is now?
That could be. Could be it's not so. But he raised the possibility. Which way should it be? Should it be more polluted today? I would think, no. More polluted, if anything. Okay. And the Medrash was written 2 centuries ago. So it should be even a lower. It should be 5%. Less than 5%. I don't know. Okay. But he knocked it down. He said, you can't say 10%. It has to go down at least to 7%. Maybe I should go further. Maybe it should even be less than 7%. Is a Miyot HaMotzi. But he said, at least to knock it down. From 10% to be machmet, to knock it down from 10% to 7%, at least that, yeah. So not all roivs are the same. Take, for example, the Gemara said, even Rav Meir holds chashino emiyuta. Rav Meir holds chashino emiyuta. So the Gemara says on the first daf in Gittin, and daf beis and beis, if you only have miyuta the miyuta against the roiv, then even Rav Meir says, le chashino emiyuta. Fine. That's a much stronger roiv. Much stronger, right? Or let's say the Gemara says at the end of the first parak in Ksubis that lehocha bebikoch nefoshes sachar haroiv. Whenever there's a suffix sakana, then yechoshesh. We just completed the Gemara here. Gemara says chamir sakanta meisua. Shma mina here chamir sakanta meisua. The 5 lines from the top of Yudah Menal. What do you mean chamir sakanta meisua? Even though the odds are that there's no sakana, it's nowhere near 50-50 still. If there's any slight chashash, so even though in Issa V'Heter, you go basarayv. But when it comes to sakana, you have no right to rely on the right. You have to be choshish for the miyut. So taki choshish for the miyut. What if there's a miyuta de miyuta? 1 out of 5 million billion trillion zillion is a suffix sakana. It's everything you mechal Shabbos for. That's ridiculous. You don't always say like that. So that's, in the early 1800s, some of the countries in Europe decided to pass a law, and they still have it in some of the countries, that you're not allowed to bury anybody who died until 72 hours go by from the time that the death certificate is signed. Maybe the person is still alive, and the doctor made a mistake declaring that he was dead. Because every so often, they found that they're having a wake for the person by the goyim. They're having a funeral service, and the galacha is delivering a eulogy. And the guy wakes up and he says, "What do you mean? I didn't die yet. What are you holding a eulogy? What are you giving a hesped?" So every so often you find that the doctors made a mistake. So some of the countries in Europe made such a law: you're not allowed to bury anyone until 3 days go by. So the Maritz Chayes sent a shayla to the Chasam Sofer. Maybe we should go along with the Dina de Malchusa, and maybe we shouldn't bury anybody till after 3 days, because when it comes to Safek Sakana Lahocha Bipikoch Nefoshe Sachar Haroiv, and then he quotes from Maseches Smoches, which is not written by the Tanoim, it was written in the days of the Gaonim. All the Maseches Tanoim were written in the days of the Gaonim, like Maseches Sofrim and all the others. So they have a story there that someone once went to the cemetery to visit the Beis HaKvaros, and someone had been buried there a few days before, and they had a whole room built on top of the place where the guy was buried, and he heard the one who visited the cemetery here is banging on the door. So the dead person got up and he's banging on the door. "Let me out of here. They locked me in here. I'm still alive." They thought he was dead and they buried him by mistake. So the and you have a Mishnah in the end of Nida that some people are metame. I forgot already who. Some people are metame even after they die. They still have a tumah like a zava or a zava, because maybe they're still alive until you see that their body starts to decompose. So then you know for sure that he's dead. So, even though we usually assume that if a person is not breathing for 15 minutes, that's our tradition. A person is not breathing 15, 20 minutes, then you assume he's dead. And then the Chevra Kadisha buries him. So maybe this is a mistake because the Rambam in the Murei Nevuchim quotes from Galen. Galen was a Greek or a Roman doctor, I forgot about who he was. He wrote books on medicine. So the Rambam quotes from Galen that there was once a case that a person stopped breathing for 3 days and then he came to. 3 days later he came to and he was still alive. So maybe we shouldn't rely anymore on the fact that a person is not breathing 15, 20 minutes. Maybe we should talk and wait 72 hours. We should go along because Chamir Sakanta Meisur, maybe we're burying a living person. So that's the tshuva that the Chasam Sofer responded to the Maritz Chayes. He has other letters to the Maritz Chayes where he every letter in the Chasam Sofer starts off, he tells you who the tshuva is written to, who the letter is written to. And then less than 10 where he doesn't write the name. So this is one of the letters, this one about the 72 hours where he doesn't write to whom he's writing the tshuva, because he says in the middle of the letter, are you an Apikoros or something? You don't believe in the tradition? We have a masor when the Rabbanu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu kavadik b'reina b'yamahu, you have to bury the person the same day. So the Rabbanu Shalom must have told Moshe Rabbeinu, what's the definition of death? So he told me, wait 15, 20 minutes, the guy's not breathing, so you assume that he's dead. Correct. The Rambam wrote that there was once a case, and Galen records that the person wasn't breathing for 3 days. That was once in 1,000 years such a thing happens. One in 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, That's not considered a suffix sakonas nefashas. It was such a far-fetched chashash sakona that it's so rare that it hardly ever happens. That's not even called a suffix sakonas nefashas. You should ignore that. One of the talmidim of the so the Chassam Sofer didn't want to insult the Maritz Chais, so he didn't. He had them print that tshuva, and he said they should leave out the name of the person to whom it's written. We know it's written to the Maritz Chais because he was very proud of his correspondence with the Chassam Sofer. So he printed a separate pamphlet, my correspondence with the Chassam Sofer. He has the letter that he sent him, and then you read the tshuva of the Chassam Sofer. It's paragraph by paragraph. It corresponds to the letter that he sent him. He was the one who raised the issue. But the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, Chassam Sofer in the middle, quotes the Mor Nevuchim. He never does that. Because the Shoyl quoted the Mor Nevuchim. And every other paragraph in the whole essay, in the whole tshuva that the Chassam Sofer wrote, corresponds paragraph by paragraph. That would really help in all the tshuvas of the Chassam Sofer if we would have the Shaila. So we would. There are certain tshuvas in the Chassam Sofer, not sure exactly what he's talking about, because we don't have the Shaila. We just have the tshuva. But this one we have the Shaila. So the one of the most outstanding students of the Chassam Sofer was the Maharam Shik. After the Chassam Sofer passed away, so the Maharam Shik and the Ksav Sofer, the son, one of the sons of the Chassam Sofer, were waging the battle against the Reform. The battle was stronger, it was more fierce after the Chassam Sofer passed away. During his lifetime it was mild, then it got worse later. So the Maharam Shik has tshuvas. He has a tshuva where he talks about mitzitza. So many read the Gemara, the simple pshat in the Gemara, Masechah Shabbos, Perek Ablezer Demila, that mitzitza is simple pshat in the Gemara. Mitzitza is only needed for medical purposes to prevent infection. So in Mela, the Pharisee Saul writes on Mishnayos that if you have antiseptics and you're going to prevent the infection, so there's no need to have any mitzitza at all. That's what the Tiferes Sol writes. The Tiferes Sol was not a reformed rabbi. The Tiferes Sol was a holy tzaddik. And he went to mikveh every morning before he wrote his commentary. He used to sit in Talis and Tefillin all day long. And he was writing his Pirush HaMishnayos. He wasn't a reformed rabbi. And he has a whole essay in Perek HaBlez in the Mila. That his man is that you don't need any mitzitza at all. He said mitzitza is only to prevent infection, medically needed. And if you have antiseptics, there's nothing to worry about. So Stechemer is in the Tzaktopinis, he has a whole 40-page kuntres on Mitzitza. So the first 20 pages, he disagrees with the Tiferes Yisrael. He says, no, you have to do Mitzitza. The Gemara didn't say that that's the only reason why you need Mitzitza, is because to prevent infection. The Gemara says, if a moel does no Mitzitza, you fire him right away. Why do you fire him? You encourage him, you should do Mitzitza properly, and you do the Mitzitza afterward. No, why do you fire him? The Gemara says, you have to fire him because it's mamish is sakona for the baby. The Mitzitza is not only needed for religious purposes, it's an integral part of the bris milah, you need it for medical purposes as well. But the Gemara never said that it's only for medical purposes. That's what they argue. So the first 20 pages in the Kuntres and the Stechemer is to say that you do need Mitzitza against the Tiferes Yisrael on Mishnah Yishamas. Then the next 20 pages is to insist that it has to be Mitzitza Vipeh, and if you just have a tube and you do Mitzitza, it's not good enough, it has to be Mitzitza Vipeh. Okay. So the Maritz Chayis, so the Maram Shik has a whole tshuva that mitzitza is needed mitam, even if you hold it's only mitam sakana, even if you hold that it's only mitam sakana the way the Tiferes on Mishnayis wrote, you still need mitzitza today. But in the world of medicine, they say they have antiseptics, and they say it's not necessary anymore to have mitzitza. So he writes, all of medical knowledge is based on records that they kept. So how many circumcisions did they do? 1 million. Maybe if they'll do 2 million, they'll find out that because he didn't do mitzitza, the baby died. It could be there's still a sakana. All the medical information, all the medical science is based on data that they got from experimentation, from all the cases that they did. They only did, it wasn't a controlled experiment. All the cases that they did circumcision, no one ever died. They never did mitzitza, no one ever died. Maybe if they do twice as many, maybe someone will die. And that's called the suffix sakan, echad mini elef alfi alofim. 1 in 5 billion, zillion, trillion is also called suffix sakan. So the Pashtus is not like the Maram Shik. Pashtus is like the Chasam Sefer. Echad mini elef alfi alofim. That's called the suffix sakan. That's what the Chasam Sefer writes. The Maseches Smoches writes a case that the fellow came to visit the cemetery and the mace was banging on the door, let me out of here, they locked me in. They buried me alive and they locked the door, get me out of here. That was one case in millions. It didn't happen all the time. It's very rare. So he says, the halacha says, that's not called you don't go basarav, but if it's one chance in 5 million, zillion, trillion, billion, of course you go basarav. That's not even called the latest asofik. Not the same. It's not the same as Reb Meir. Reb Meir lo chayish lemiyuta. Reb Meir is always chayish lemiyuta. But if you have only miyuta, the miyuta is 99% certain. So then Reb Meir agrees that lo chayish lemiyuta. Okay. But this is past that. If it's one out of a million is not even called a suffix. Or let's say we spoke about Isbet Bachamas bePesach is bMashahu. So the Stechemin has pages and pages about this. If there's a sailor in off the coast of Japan who finishes eating his bagel and he throws into the ocean. So, on Pesach. So that's going to give a bli of chametz into the water. All the water in the Atlantic Ocean is also connected to the water in the Pacific Ocean. So there's going to be a bli of chametz, mashu, going to be 5 million, zillion, trillion, billion units of water against this little bit of chametz. But chametz ben Pesach is ben mashu. So how can you drink the water anywhere, even if you filter it? But it probably has a bli of chametz. Someone must have thrown a crumb of chametz in the water somewhere. So is not chametz b'pesach mashem. There's a limit. Once you have a million, zillion, trillion, billion units against the one unit of chametz, so that's not even called mashu. That's less than mashu.
Is there a hacker for mashu mina mashu that if you take from the first source where there's a mashu and put that into another?
Trey mashu, yeah. Okay. We have to learn the tesis on Daf Kuf. It's based on the tesis on Daf Kuf. Yeah, it's a discussion in Yeridei. Sometimes there's an opinion that Trey Mashal Amina. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe we'll get there this year. No, I don't think so. The mashu is going straight. If it's a mashu, other mashu, then it's along the same lines, but it's not the same. Along the same lines. There must be a limit to the mashu. You can't say everything is always, kama is always mashu. So the different degrees of roif, the different madregas of a roif. We said that the second tesis from the top on Yud Amun Aleph, Tov Al V'Yola, so tesis quotes the sugya that's in Nida Tezvava with the Zohar Mem Aleph and Pesachim Daf Tes on the margin, on the side of Masoris Hashas, on the line in Pesachim Beretz and Devadai, he refers you to all of those three gemaras. All three are the exact same sugya, the exact same discussion. So that expression where it says over there, ain't sofik b'otzim b'dei v'adai, so the word sofik means, Tosis says, sofik means sofik harogot. The last two words in that Tosis, tovo v'yolo. So the word sofik in those sugyas means sofik harogot, means a rov garua. It's not a rov of 95%, a rov of 55%, 51%, a small rov. Ain't sofik b'otzim b'dei v'adai, v'adai means chazok, usually ruba v'chazok, ruba odif. But if it's a shvache, why is that? Why is ruba b'chazok or ruba adib? So we said over the Pnei Yeshua says, because rov is a birur, and chazok is a din hanhogen. But if the rov is only 51% or 49%, that's also just a din hanhogen. That's not a birur. 51% to 49%, that's not considered a birur. So there are different madregas of rov. There can be many different levels of rov. So that's al pi pashtus, the whole sugi over here. The Gemara has a machloikis. What happened here? Rashi says, I was boidik the sakin before I shech the animal. Rashi writes here, Hashechet b'sakin l'achakach nimtzis beguma. When the narrow lines become wider, so the second wide line, the third wide line, Rashi writes, we're talking about a case, the shechet checked the sakin. He's boidik the sakin before he shechts. Then he shechts the behema. And then Shibabat Samas Kalayam. Then he's using this knife to cut bones. So that's a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chizda. So Rav Huna is Lishitosa. Rav Huna holds Bema Bechaya Bechestis Sisra Medes. Since at the end of the day, we don't know whether the Sakan has a Pegima now because Shibabat Samas after the Shchita or Shema Be'orniv Gema. Maybe it developed a Pegam. In the knife, the pegima was the nick in the knife was before he shechted. So Rav Huna l'shitasai, Rav Huna holds behema b'chei b'ches k'sisa t'nisa nevel. And Rav Chizda disagrees, and he says no. How do we pask on halacha l'maisa? So the Gemara says on the third line on the base, you don't have a base. Ilchus akabasa de Rav Huna b'shaloi shiba bo'etzim. Ilchus akabasa de Rav Chizda k'shishiba bo'etzim. So the Gemara paskens like Rav Huna if lo shiba bo'etzim. Sounds like there's still a machlekes Rav Huna Rav Chizda. So the Gemara says, Michlal, the inference from the fact that he just gave a psak, Michlal, the inference is, the Rav Chizda Avagal Goloshiba Be'etzem also holds. That ain't something Motzim Devada. Why? Elabamai Yivkim. It wasn't Shiba Watzamas. He didn't cut any bones with it. So what are you going to attribute the Pegima to? It must be that it was the Pegima occurred. Because of the cut and the veshet. No, the cut and the veshet are normal to cut. It may have been. It's a sotek ha-shokel. Elamamayivkim. Didn't the pegima occur because of the or? Gemara says, Eime betzim de mefrekes ifkim. So the Gemara has a machlekes, again, Rav Huna and Rav Chizda in all cases. If Sheba ba'atzamas afterwards, or if even lo Sheba ba'atzamas, but when you finish cutting the cut and the veshet, the knife possibly cut the nick the mefrekes, the spine behind the kan and the veshet. So Rav Chizda holds ruba v'chazaka ruba odiv. The roiv is that the mefrekes of the animal. I don't know what caused this pegima in the knife. Was the pegima caused because of the ore, which is soft, or was it caused because of the etzem hamefrekes, or was it shiba batzamas all day long? Rav Huna says, not only Sheba Bat Samas is a strong raiv, trying to figure out, what do you attribute the Pegima to? Was it because of the Sheba Bat Samas or because of the Or? Not only Sheba Bat Samas is a very strong raiv, that the Pegima was caused by that, even if just Be'etzem HaMefrekes Ifkin, the knife just touched after he finished cutting the cut of Nevesha. On one animal, the knife probably must have touched, may have touched the spine and may have gotten broken then. That's also enough of a right to say Ruba Bachazok or Ruba Adiv. Rav Chizd disagrees on both. He says, no. Just like we said in the three sugyas, in Nida Tezvav and in Avodah Zarah Mem Aleph and in Pesachim Daf Tes, if you have a Rav Garua, it's just 51% Rav to 49%. A Rav Garua, you don't say Ruba Bachazok or Ruba Adiv. You say Shkulim, because in such a case, the Rav isn't strong, the Rav is not a beer. So Rav Huna is of the opinion that in these cases also there's not enough of a rive, not strong enough of a rive to say Ruba Bachazak Ruba Adif. They're just talking about percentages. And we paskan a compromise. We paskan halfway like Rav Huna, halfway like Rav Chizd. That's where Hilchas HaKvasa the Rav Huna Kishalo Yishiba Ba'etzim. If all he did was that he nicked with the knife, he nicked the Etzim HaMefrekas in the back, that's not enough of a Rav to say Ruba Bachazak Ruba Adif. Rav Chizda holds that it is, but we don't pass like Rav Chizda. However, Hilchas HaKvasa Rav Chizda, Kishishiba Ba'etzim, because that's a stronger Rav. And Rav Huna thinks not so. Rav Huna thinks that that's not strong enough Rav either. They're just talking about percentages. You can have 1,001 levels of a Rav. Al Pidin, the different Madregas of a Rav. We already discussed if you have Miyuta, the Miyuta, even Rav Meir is Moida. That Loi Chashina Le Miyuta. That's 99%. And then the Chassam Sefer said, you forget about it. That's not even called the suffix sakana. Even my suffix sakana, you ignore. And then we have a Miyuta Motzi. So the Ramban had his Medrash that says you have to be Boidik Mid the Rabbanan, not Minatur. And then you have a Rav Garua, just 51% Rav. That's a Gemara. That's the three Gemaras that Tosafot quotes. That you don't say Ruba Chazok Ruba Adif. That's Shkulim over there. And in these two cases, there are three possibilities: Rav Huna, Rav Chizda, and we pass kind of compromise in between. How strong does the Rav have to be that you have the right to say Ruba Chazok Ruba Adif? So Rav Huna is very machma. Has to be a strong Rav. Even a Shiva Bat Samas, it's not strong enough. Not strong enough. It's still called the Rav Garua. That you can't say Ruba Bachazok Ruba Adif. And Rav Chizda is Mekel on both. If Shiba Bat Samas afterwards are just Noga Be'etzem HaMefrekas, and we pass in a compromise between the two. Different degrees of Rav.
Is there machlokas? Because it's not when you see us on whether you break the bones with a knife,
I think they're talking about different percentages, yeah.
So
they're just talking about what is the percentage of a rive? How strong does the rive have to be that you have the right to say Ruba Bachazok or Ruba Adif? Because if it's a rive garua, then everyone agrees that you don't say. That's the sugya that Tess is quoted. And Sofik Motzim Devadai, Vadai means the Chazoke, and Sofik means a Sofik Harogel. A Rav of 51% doesn't beat out the Chazoke. You don't see Ruba V'Chazoke Ruba Adif. So it has to be a Rav Bari. So how much of a Rav Bari does it have to be? So those are the three opinions in our sugya. Rav Huna is very Machmer, has to be a very strong Rav. We should try to figure out what the percentages are. But I don't think it's a Shaila Metzias, a Shaila Pidin. How strong does the Rav have to be that you have the right to say Ruba V'Chazoke Ruba Adif? Then there's a topic of Tarte L'Reyusa. Tarte L'Reyusa is the Gemara, the first daf in Nida. Tarte L'Reyusa in Hilchas Shechita, there's such a topic. There's a complete svarim about the topic of Tarte L'Reyusa. Tarte L'Reyusa is a chumah that the Rishonim came up with. If you have a shayla in Hilchas Treifis on a certain limb of the animal, so we paskin that strictly speaking, that's kosher. Then you have another shayla nearby, on the same limb in the animal, another shayla, we paskin strictly speaking, that's also kosher. But the two strikes against you, and they're near each other, not that one is on the right foot, and one is on the front right foot, and one is on the left back foot. No. Tata is the two shaylas on the same limb near each other. How close to together that they have to, how close to the two reyeses, how close to the two shaylas have to be. So that's as a whole long prima godim when you apply Tarte L'Reyusa. So this topic of Tarta Lerius and Hilchas Dreyfus was borrowed from the Gemara of Tarta Lerius by Mikve Shenimda. That's what Tosis quotes. The Tosis Sakan Israel is an important Tosis. It's quoted in the Yerideya Siman Aleph. So that's, we'll have to discuss that after Shabbos. What's the topic of Tarta Lerius and what's the din? Okay. This afternoon, 1:30 till 2:30, I have to give a shiur on the sixth in the series on Hilchas Eridin. Open to the